Good morning and welcome back to the Real Arsenal Deal podcast. Rav here, as always, your host. How is everyone today? Recording this first thing Sunday morning here in Australia. The sun is out. The birds are chirping. It is a glorious day. It is a glorious time to be an Arsenal fan. 2-0 to the Arsenal over Burnley. It was just a comprehensive performance. It should have been more. That's the most immediate thing to say. 2-0 does not do this one justice. This was a dismantling from Arsenal. Comprehensive, professional performance from back to front. There's a lot to talk about, a lot of praise to be given here. It was Declan Rice's match. I think it was one of the most complete performances from him. He was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. It's great that he's got a goal to cap off his performance too. And, I know we've spoken about him a lot recently. Maybe we just take it for granted just how good he now is, his engine, his set pieces. This is the type of thing I think Rice encapsulates Arsenal's progression and advancement, especially in the last sort of 18 to 24 months. Well, he only signed 2 years ago, really. He wasn't doing these things 2 years ago. He wasn't as good at crosses and at set pieces, shots on goal, corners. He wasn't able to, even in the 94th minute, be able to sprint all the way back from the opposing box and get back to his defensive box. And like we saw in the 94th minute today, this is, I think Rice is one of the most complete midfielders at the moment going around. And I think within Arsenal, he is so highly rated, he is so highly regarded. And we've just become accustomed to how good he is. And gee, if this is what we have, if we have him in this type of form, if we have him doing this in March, April, May, look out. Look out Premier League, look out Champions League. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I just realise as well that it's still November, first match of November. Arsenal are sitting, I wouldn't say comfortably on top. It's still pretty early. At the time of recording, Liverpool and Aston Villa are playing, I believe. I'm not sure of the score or the result. By the time you listen to this, you will know what that result was. But We've extended our lead currently ahead of Bournemouth, who sit in second at the moment. Fantastic season they're having. I think City play tomorrow night, or overnight tonight here in Australia. So all we can do is just keep doing our job, pile on the pressure. Liverpool would know the result right now as they're playing Aston Villa at Anfield. City will know Arsenal have won when they enter their match tonight overnight. We just got to keep dialing up the pressure, pile up the pressure. Whether we play first ahead of our rivals or we play second, it doesn't matter. Just go out there and do the job. And right now, Arsenal are doing it. 7 wins in a row, I believe. 7 wins consecutive. 7 consecutive clean sheets. This is not normal. How sustainable this is, how far this run will last or extend to, I don't know. However, when you look at the way Arsenal play, you look at the level of professionalism within the squad, the way that they defend like their lives depend on it, it looks sustainable to me. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that we're going to win every single match and never concede a goal ever again. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the brand of football, stylistically, the system Arsenal play, it seems sustainable to me. It's an unrelenting desire. Whoever comes in or comes out, whatever, you know, tweaks we make to starting lineups, 2 or 3 changes here or there, 3 or 4 or 5 substitutions as the match goes on, it seems a system that is sustainable, that players are prepared, players are ready, players know the expectations and the standards. And if you're going to come on and wear that Arsenal shirt on the pitch, you better meet those standards. Otherwise, Arteta won't put you on there, or you'll get a rollicking from your teammates as well. So that's what seems sustainable to me. It's just, it's a great time to be an Arsenal fan. It really, really is. 2 a.m. kickoff here in Australia. It's not easy. So I'm a bit bleary-eyed and a bit tired this morning. But what propels me, aside from the caffeine, of course, from my morning coffee, is the spring in my step that the Arsenal are bringing. That there's something very, very, very special happening at Arsenal at the moment, and it's a joy to watch. It's great to watch. I really enjoyed this first half. It's kind of thing like I sort of watch it a bit subdued because I'm half bleary eyed as well. You know, I'm watching it in the dark on my iPad in the bedroom. I can't go too nuts as well because I don't want to wake everyone up. But it was great to see Gyökeres score. I think Gyökeres had an outstanding game. I haven't seen the full quotes yet, again, because I'm just recording this first thing in the morning. I believe Arteta referred to that his substitution was forced. I think he said muscular issue. I'm hoping I haven't got that wrong because I don't want to say something that's not true here. If that's a niggle or a concern, that's a worry for Arsenal because we, you know, as much as we talk and we relish our powering up this season, the investment made by the owners, the new players brought into the club, as fantastic as that is to have all these squad options, bit by bit, these little injuries, they're taking a toll. They're sneaking up. So we've spoken at length about the toll on Gyökeres because we haven't had Kai Havertz. We haven't really had that natural option to sit him down or rotate with him or him come on in the second half, for example. So bit by bit, we're just losing a few players in and around the squad. Martinelli, I don't believe there's been an announcement yet on what the actual issue is. It looked muscular again, groin injury. I've heard mentioned briefly, and you'd imagine that's not something that you just sort of recover from after a week. That could be a couple of weeks out on the sidelines. So if Gyökeres has gone down, then you know we're back into, as good as he is, we're back into Mikel Merino territory for centre forward. He came on in the second half, and look, Mikel Merino, he does Mikel Merino things. He's not a natural number nine, as we know, and that's not a discredit to him. I do feel that we lost something in that area of the pitch in the second half. Gyökeres was fantastic in the first half. Probably his best game for Arsenal, right? I know it's maybe silly to say. It's only 45 minutes he's put together, but he was fantastic. His ball for the second goal was brilliant. That's the kind of thing that, you know, when we were signing him and we've heard player profiles and the attributes that were stated about him. That's the kind of thing that he provides. He's that out ball, that brute strength. He looked up, right, and he's just played a cross-field pass beautifully, and Trossard's done so well. I've got to say as well, I know I gave Rice his flowers, and there are so many players to praise here, of course, but while on the topic of Trossard, I thought Trossard was fantastic. Fully rested, right, midweek, he didn't feature at all against Brighton. Again, speaks to the plethora of squad options we have and how well the players who were waiting for their chance, how well they perform. We didn't need Trossard midweek despite Martinelli's injury. And I thought Trossard was excellent here today, really excellent. He's unlucky not to have a goal himself. That was a brilliant goal line clearance from, I've forgotten who it was, but there were two defenders who got back on the line. That was very gutsy, brave defending from Burnley, who I thought were very, very good. The Premier League is not easy. You're coming across very professional clubs, very good managers, a lot of them emerging young managers themselves. I think Parker's very good. He was full of praise for Arsenal during the week. He didn't bite when they were, of course, they're trying to suck him into the whole narrative of Arsenal just being one-trick ponies and just only having set pieces to call upon. He was full of praise for Arsenal. I think Burnley defended very well. Dubravka, the goalkeeper, was kept very busy, certainly a lot busier than Raya has been in the last few weeks. He made a number of key saves. On another day, this could have been four or five. I'm not even joking. I think there was as good as Arsenal were and deserved the 3 points, and as pleased as we would be taking these points back to the Emirates, there'll be a few players who'd be kicking themselves. I think Saka should have scored. The moment that broke through, I lifted up from my pillow. I was just expecting to see the back of the net ruffle. Bukayo, he should have lifted it over the keeper. He hit it straight at him, kept it low, and yeah, look, of course it counts as a save, and you know that's fair enough, good goalkeeping. However, Bukayo should have scored that, and then you know Trossard as well. I've already mentioned the goal line clearance earlier. He was able to split the defence beautifully from the left flank. He found Calafiori. I don't think Calafiori was expecting it, to be honest, because maybe he took too many touches. It fell to Calafiori's right foot, and he's got a hell of a right foot on him as well. He's shown that with shots on goal, shots on target. If he struck it first time, you never know. That probably should have been an opportunity as well. But look, Trossard overall, a very, very good game from him, stepping back into the starting 11, a very professional performance by him. He's played the full match. The substitutions were interesting. Speaking of Calafiori, bringing on Hincapié. Now, Hincapié is a very interesting what we've seen here. I know I've just mentioned before about players going down and the toll that's taking. Equally, though, we've got Hincapié back. So bit by bit, as these players return to Arsenal, as these players return to the squad, we're going to see different things, different levers pulled from Arteta. Hincapié coming on at around 72 minutes, I believe it was. It was a double substitution. Yeah, I think Wanyeri came on as well. Just making sure I haven't missed, I haven't jumbled those substitutions in my head. It was Gyökeres came off at halftime. And then we swung two changes. Later on in the match, Lewis Skelly, Zubimendi's come off. Norgaard as well, I thought, just slotted in, did his thing. Speaking of goalkeeping saves, what a shot from Norgaard that was. That was out of nowhere. I had no idea he had that shot on him. Good on him for having the confidence to take it, right? Dubravka's got low to his right. He's made another save. So genuinely speaking, we could have had five, I reckon. Five or six goals. And that probably would have been deserved. Maybe it would have felt a bit harsh in terms of Burnley. But sometimes that's the nature of football. Just a couple of weeks ago, I thought Atletico Madrid were excellent for the majority of that match, but Arsenal blew them away in a 14, 15-minute spell, and 4-0 looks pretty generous in Arsenal's favour and probably harsh on Atleti. Here, I don't think 2-0 does it justice, but ultimately, do I care? No, I don't care. I don't, because it's the 3 points. It's the 3 points Arsenal came for and Arsenal earned and Arsenal will leave with. So that's the most important thing. Where was I with Hincapié? He slotted in well. He looked fine to me. What I like about him is that he's got a bit of an edge to him. And I don't mean that in a necessarily bad way or like an overly aggressive, ill-disciplined way. I see he's aggressive to win the ball. I think he's the type of, how do I say this? This is no disrespect to Kiwior, who I thought was an utmost professional and left Arsenal on excellent terms with his head held high after just a fantastic end to last season when he stepped in for Gabriel. However, I wouldn't see Kiwior launch into some of these challenges or duels or tackles that Hincapié does. And I think there's just a natural instinctive flair that comes with players that is not necessarily coached or drilled into them. It's kind of innate. And I see why Arsenal sought Hincapié, who I didn't necessarily think on paper that we needed at that stage of the window. We'd already made 7 signings and I thought it was already an outstanding transfer window for Arsenal. But then very late on, this kind of snuck under the radar a little bit. And of course, he's had an injury, which has kept him out of action for the opening, probably 2 months of the season, really. So him coming back in now and giving that style of profile for Arsenal, this is very, very interesting to see, because he can play at left back, he can play at centre half. We've got someone who can sit down Gabriel, as I don't think Gabriel would necessarily agree to that. He's a player that will always demand to play, such is his willingness. So yeah, that's an excellent thing to have up Arsenal's sleeve. And we've made the 5 substitutions. We're managing minutes of certain players. Zubimendi, I think he had a knock as well. Arteta mentioned that his substitution wasn't necessarily planned. It was more so due to an injury. I think Arteta said he asked to come off. So I'm not too sure about that. I'll need to see that again to see if I could pick up any injury or knock or something. Zubimendi will miss anyway midweek at Slavia Prague. So hopefully he can just recover during the week, because we have a massive match in the league away next weekend against Sunderland, the 3rd of 3 away matches in a row. If we can enter that international break with another win at Sunderland, who were excellent, Granit Xhaka's Sunderland, that would be an outstanding result for Arsenal, especially with next weekend, Liverpool and City play each other. So we can just dial that pressure right up and notch another 3 points on the road and enter that international break in a very, very healthy, much stronger position than we already are. Look, we're already in an excellent position. Take nothing away from that. This is a pretty challenging week for the club. We're away midweek, as I mentioned, to Slavia Prague, who how am I going to say this? It's not essential that we win that. Of course, I want to win every single match with our 3-from-3 record in the Champions League already. Is it such a bad thing if we come away with a result or a draw there? No, not necessarily. That's not going to be the mentality at the club, though, of course. We're going to go out there to win, and we've got the capability to do it. If there's some players who need sitting down, see, immediately already we know that probably Norgaard will start that one with Zubimendi out. But we've got Marino, we've got Rice in midfield, Ethan. He can change his shape if he wants to, put Ezra on the left, or Ezra in midfield and go with Trossard again on the left in Martinelli's absence. Depending on Gyökeres' availability, maybe Trossard as well as a centre forward. So we've got options. We've got opportunities all throughout the board. Great that Saliba started this one. I did think to myself that this is a classic Mikel Arteta, a bit of smoke and mirrors again. When I think Arteta, he categorically ruled out Martinelli for this match due to his injury. However, when asked about Saliba, he's always got this magical training session. I've mentioned this before, like this amazingly, that between a Mikel Arteta press conference and an actual match, there's always this mystery training session that he always just refers to. He says, I don't know, they haven't trained yet. There's another session tomorrow and we'll assess them then. Like, it's just brilliant the way he does this. I know exactly what he's doing. He'll just defer or deflect the question and just continue the mystery around it. I got the sense that Saliba was always going to play. And you just got to keep that doubt going. That the mind games, it's all part of it. It's all part of the theatre. It's all part of this level of sport. Everyone does it, so why not do the same thing, Mikel? So glad that Saliba started. He looked fine to me. He looked doing usual Saliba things, just like Timber did. I thought Bukayo was otherwise quietish. I've mentioned the missed opportunity on goal that he'd be disappointed with. But otherwise, you know, he's got through the match. He's managed his way through it. He's played a lot of football lately. I know he was ill during the week, so that's fine. He will shake that off and keep doing Saka things. But otherwise, it's just a fantastic result. It's a fantastic performance as well. We deserved the 3 points. We deserved to win. That's the sustainable side of it. We're not just, you know, as much as they'll have you believe that all we've got is set pieces. It's not true. It's not true at all. I think both goals midweek against Brighton were open play. We scored a few open play goals against Atletico. One sweeping move this morning capped off by that towering Rice header after Gyökeres has found Trossard across the pitch. We've got ways to unlock the defence. Set pieces, no dramas. Corners, free kicks, no problem. We'll find a way. Counter-attacks from the back, from Raya gobbling it up and playing it out early and finding the outball in Gyökeres. We've got it all. We're playing a very sustainable brand of football with an excellent coach, world-class players, a world-class system, and we're finding ways, no matter the opposition, no matter the circumstances, no matter the setup, no matter how many players they have defending in deep, we are finding a way. We are banging that door down and we will find a way. This is an excellent, excellent result. Make no mistake what is happening at Arsenal right now. So I liken this to, look, I'll finish off with this point. In my recordings, I mostly talk about Arsenal and Arsenal theme stuff. Of course, when people ask me questions more of a personal nature, I'm happy to answer them. I don't think anyone wants to hear too much about my outside life, aside from the fact that I mentioned, yes, I have. I'm a stay-at-home dad, and I'm raising two young sons, and I've had an ex-banking corporate senior management career, which I've thoroughly enjoyed, but I've stepped back from so I can be a stay-at-home dad. Some of my other loves, I guess, in life are Lego. I'm a bit embarrassed to say as a grown man. I'm a huge Lego fanatic. Love superhero stuff, Marvel, Batman, Star Wars, that sort of stuff. Where I'm going with this is that my mind is a bit methodical. In Lego building, you follow piece by piece, brick by brick, step by step instructions to build the ultimate end piece. And where I'm going with this is that I liken what Arsenal are doing, what we are compiling so far, is a championship-winning trophy. That's what we are building. We are building brick by brick, step by step. We are piling on the pressure. We are working towards that end goal, which looks like a Premier League trophy. That's what I see. So it's almost as if now, if I was to complete that Lego analogy, I've got an instruction booklet in front of me. The picture is the end. It's the Premier League title. And this is what we're doing step by step, week by week, match day by match day. We are getting the job done. We are building onto the next step onto the next page, onto the next week, onto the next game. We are building towards a Premier League trophy. That's what I'm super, super proud of. There is something very, very special happening at Arsenal at the moment. And I just hope we keep going. And I see the mentality. I see the unrelenting desire from the team. That's what they're producing. And just enjoy it. Please enjoy the journey. Because I am as well. Don't let them take it away from you. Don't let them suck you down with all these narratives and stuff. That's all external noise. And Arsenal are blocking that crap out. And we're just going out there and we're just producing. Whether it's a set piece, open play goals, I don't care. We're just getting the job done. 3 points, on to the next one. And I'm really proud of what's happening at Arsenal at the moment. I hope you are too. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back on again soon as the football continues. If you could please consider liking and subscribing on YouTube or follow the show on your audio platform, Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and please leave me a review and let me know how you feel, please. I read every single word. Let me know in the comments. If you're a Lego fan as well, you can please let me know if that analogy made sense. It's just a great, great time to be an Arsenal fan. I hope wherever you are in the world, you're enjoying it as much as I am. Thank you so much for listening. I'll speak to you all again soon. Look after yourselves, check in with your loved ones, and come on, Arsenal.